Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, as we approach the new year, it's really a great time to reflect on your relationship with God, what's behind you and what's ahead. And that's why Pastor Rick has a timely and powerful message called How Much You Matter to God. Now, if you've ever doubted your value or wondered about your place in God's plan, this message is for you. So let's get right to Rick with part two of today's message.
Jesus is walking through Jericho that day, and of all the people he stops to talk to, and of all the people he pays attention to, and of all the people he invites himself to their home, he chooses the most unloved, the most disrespected, the most evil, the most unappreciated person in the entire city, a guy named Zacchaeus. Now, he's walking through town, and when he comes to the tree that Zacchaeus is in, he stops, he looks up, and he says, "Zacchaeus, I want you to come down." Now, this story teaches us four truths about how much you matter to God. You need to write these down. Four truths about how much you matter to God. Number one, the first thing we learn is that no matter how small I feel, Jesus notices me. No matter how small I feel, Jesus notices me. Now, as I said, Zacchaeus is very wealthy, but he's very lonely. And so when he comes, he hears Jesus has come to the city. He wants to see him. But being so short, he can't get a glimpse. So he does two things that no Middle Eastern wealthy man would ever do. First thing, he runs. He runs ahead of the crowd. Now, in those days, running was for slaves. No wealthy, self-respecting Middle Eastern man would run. But Zacchaeus doesn't care. He runs ahead of the crowd, and he finds a tree, a sycamore tree, and he climbs up in a tree. Second thing he does, he climbs up in a tree. No self-respecting Middle Eastern businessman would climb up in a tree. That's what you have a slave do. Now, he's shocking. He's just hoping for a glimpse of Jesus. But Jesus does something even more shocking. And the Bible says this, verse 3 in Luke 19. Zacchaeus was too short, but when he climbs up in a tree, but when Jesus got to the tree, he looked up. Now notice, he stops at Zacchaeus' tree, and in a packed crowd, he pauses, and of all the people in the crowd that he notices and pays attention to, he notices Zacchaeus. Can you imagine how this guy's heart started racing? Boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden, he thinks, I'm just going to get a glimpse of this guy, and all of a sudden, Jesus stops at my tree, looks up at me, and calls me my name. Hello. And he's thinking, Jesus is noticing me. And he's totally focused on me, and so everybody in the crowd is totally focused on me. He's not looking at anybody else. I'm little. I'm short. I'm overlooked. I'm insignificant. But Jesus is paying attention to me. Now, why did Jesus stop at that particular tree and look up? Because he knew exactly where Zacchaeus was. Now, let me just say this. I don't know what you're going through right now. You may feel like you're up a tree financially. You may feel like you're out on a limb relationally. You may feel like you're in a hole spiritually, and nobody even knows you're there. But God knows where you are, and he's paying attention to you. And he notices you. He's always had his eye on you. That's because you matter to God. There has never been a moment of your life when God took his eye off of you. When you get to heaven one day, if you've trusted in Christ, there's not going to be a time when God says, I didn't see that one happen in your life. He saw you take your first breath. He heard you scream your first scream. He saw you being formed in your mother's womb. Why? Because he made you. God thought you up. You wouldn't exist if God hadn't thought of you first. And he wanted you alive, and he's watched every second of your life. the good, the bad, and the ugly. You may feel you're all alone right now. You may feel that what you're going through, God's a million miles away. Well, you're dead wrong. God is paying intimate, close attention, and just as much as a year before Zacchaeus even decided to go to that tree, God knew he'd be there. God knows where you are right now. He knows where you're going to be in the next hour. He knows where you're going to be next month. He knows where you're going to be next year. He knows where you're going to be on the last day of your life and the last breath you're going to take. Why? Because God is not limited by time. God does not live on the earth, which rotates in a 24-hour cycle around the sun. So he's not limited by time. God can see the past, the present, and the future all at once, and he knows it all, and he never takes his eye off you. And just as much as 1,000 years before this happened, God knew Zacchaeus would be in that tree at that moment. I want to tell you, God knows where you are in this moment. And he's seen everything that happened to you. He's seen every word of abuse that's been said to you that hurt, and he heard it. He saw every unkind act that's ever been done to you, and he grieved when it happened. No hurt has ever been hidden from him. He saw Zacchaeus, every mean thing that was said to him on the playground about his size when he was growing up. And God, no matter what you're going through, has not forgotten you. No matter how small, how insignificant I feel, Jesus notices me. Look at this verse, Luke chapter 12. The Bible says, God never overlooks a single sparrow. How many sparrows do you think there are in the world? How many birds do you think there are in the world? The Bible says God notices every bird and everything they're doing every time. And he says he pays even greater attention to you, down to the last detail. God knows more about your life than you do, even numbering the hairs on your head. Do you know what the greatest expression of love is? It's not giving somebody flowers. The greatest expression of love is not buying somebody a box of chocolates. The greatest expression of love is not giving them a gift card to Best Buy. The greatest expression of love is attention. It's attention. Paying attention, because when you pay attention to somebody, you're giving them your time, and your time is your life, and you're never going to get that time back. You are giving them a part of your life. And when you pay attention to somebody and you look them in the eyes, that child, that husband, that wife, that friend, and you pay attention to them, you are saying, you matter to me. It is the greatest gift. Some of you grew up with parents who thought that what you needed were things. Kids don't need things. They need attention. Little kids, they're obvious about their need for it. They crave attention. They say, watch me, Daddy. Watch me, Daddy. And for the rest of your life, you're going to be saying, watch me, Daddy. You're still saying it today. Watch me, everybody, by the kind of car I drive. Watch me, everybody, by the kind of clothes I wear. Watch me, everybody, by the way I manicure my front lawn. Watch me, everybody, by how I make myself stand out. You crave attention. It is a fundamental human need. You crave attention. And there are people all around you, the people you work with, they're starving for attention. Your next-door neighbors and the people around you, they're starving for attention. And if you want to be like Jesus, you pay attention. You show up and you pay attention. And you be there when they need you. There are people all around you dying to be noticed. Most of you do not realize the awesome attention that God is paying to you every single second of your life. Why? Because you matter to God. Number two. Not only, no matter how small I feel, Jesus notices me. The second thing we learn is that no matter who ignores me, Jesus knows me. No matter who ignores me, Jesus knows me. Now, this is more than noticing. He doesn't just notice you as 1 in 6 billion people. He doesn't just notice you. He knows you. And he calls Zacchaeus by name. Now, all of his life, Zacchaeus has been ridiculed and rejected. First, as a young person, he's ridiculed and rejected for his size. He's not as tall as everybody else. His appearance and his physical handicap cause him to be the subject of some mean-spirited things. But then when he gets older, he's ridiculed and rejected for his dishonesty and his corruption. Now, you could only imagine the kind of gossip and the kind of verbal abuse that this guy probably receives daily for being a Jew who sold out to the Romans and is ripping off his own people for his own benefit. And he is being ignored by everybody. But Jesus has another surprise. And in the second part of this verse, Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. He knows me. He doesn't just notice me. He knows me. Zacchaeus, he said. Now imagine the shock. He knows my name. How did he know? How did Jesus know? The same reason Jesus knows your name. Because he made you. He created you. He's God. That's why he knows your name. Because God knows your name. Now, I want to tell you this. God not only knows where you are, he knows who you are. He not only knows what you're going through right now and knows it better than you do, he knows why you're going through it, and he knows how you feel about it, even when you don't even know how you feel about it. He knows you inside and out. He knows you. He doesn't just notice. He cares about you personally because God is not an impersonal force. Now, Jesus is walking through the city of Jericho. A crowd is following him. He stops at this tree and he looks up and he sees the most hated guy in the community. And he not only stops and notices him, he calls him out by name. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. I'm going to have a party at your house. He knows his name. Now, this shocks everybody. First, the fact that Jesus, how does Jesus know this guy's name? Okay. But in a packed crowd, he's noticing him. But not only that, how does he know his name? The second shock is the meaning of the name. Do you know what Zacchaeus means? It means pure one. Pure one. Now, that's the last thing Zacchaeus was. He's anything but pure. He's Mr. Corruption personified. And Jesus looks up at him and says, hey, pure one. It'd probably been decades since anybody had ever called him by his real name. They're probably calling Zacchaeus every other name in the book. Okay, every other despised scoundrel. He's a crook. He's anything but pure. They're using all kinds of derogatory names and behind his back, but Jesus calls him by his real name. What is he doing here? He is affirming his potential rather than pointing out his past. Now, follow me on this. One of the principles of parenting is treat your kids the way you want them to be, not the way they are. Don't label them. Help them see what they can become. When you say, you're just, what are you doing? Only reinforcing the past. Don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it can be. Guys, if you want your wife to treat you like a king, you treat her like a queen. You treat people the way you want them to be, and then they tend to measure up to your expectations. Jesus looks at Zacchaeus, and he doesn't point out his flaws. He says, hey, pure one, come on down. Now, follow me on this. The reason your friends are afraid to come to Christ, and the reason why you are afraid to get close to Jesus, is you think, if I get close to Jesus, he's going to scold me, he's going to nag me, and he's going to tell me and remind me of all the things I've done wrong in my life. Wrong. Jesus goes to the biggest sinner in town, in the people's view, and he doesn't say, oh, Zacchaeus, let me give you 100 things you've done wrong in the last 3 weeks. No, he looks up at him and he says, hey, pure one, let's go party. what's going on here? He is treating Jesus, he's treating Zacchaeus the way he wants him to be treated. He said, I know you, I made you, I know your potential. I'm not looking at your sin, I'm looking at what I made you to be. And I made you to be a pure one. And he can't forget him. Look at this next verse. This verse out of Isaiah, God says, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for a child she has born? The answer is obviously no. If you're nursing a baby, there's no way if you're nursing a baby, you're going to forget that baby. It's impossible. If you're nursing a baby, you cannot forget a baby. But he says, even if that were possible, God says, I would never forget you. See, I have engraved your name on the palms of my hand. When Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, they nailed nails through his hands. Those created scars. And God says, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. This is how much I love you. When you get to heaven, there aren't going to be any scars in heaven. You're not going to have any imperfections or any scars in heaven. The only person with scars in heaven will be Jesus. For the rest of eternity, we can see how much he loved us. I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Look at the scars on my brow from the crown of thorns. Look at the spear scar in my side. Look at the nails in my hand, the nails in my feet. These are the scars that say, this is how much I love you. I call this God's tattoo verse. God says, there's no way I could ever forget how much I love you. I've engraved you on the palms of my hand. In spite of Zacchaeus' sin, Jesus affirms him. You see, God has created you. You're his custom creation. He made you. You weren't mass-produced. When he formed you, he uniquely formed you for a purpose, and he knows that purpose for your life. And he didn't use an assembly line, and he lovingly crafted you, and he knows your name, and he's impressed you on the palms of his hands. I like to say it this way. God has your picture in his wallet. Do you realize that? You're not number 1,486,282, whatever. God has your picture in his wallet. He made you to love you. And there's never been a moment of your life that he didn't love you, that he didn't see, notice, and that he didn't know what's going on in your life. Some of you have had some pretty tough shots in life, and you've had some pretty mean things said about you, and you can still remember the names you've been called. Names you've been called by your dad, names you've been called by your mom, names you've been called by people on the playground or at school, and you've been the brunt of verbal abuse, and you can still recall the words. And so you have a pretty hard time feeling good about you. But I want you to remember this. Even though all those other people called you all those other names, you'll never amount to anything. Why can't you be like your brother or your sister? You're going to fail. You're going to end up in prison, and on and on and on. And all those things that people said about you and all the names they called you, you're dumb, you're uncoordinated, you're a klutz, you don't matter, and all of that doesn't really matter. Because what matters is not the names they've called you, but the fact that he knows your name. And he says, pure one, I see in you what I made you to be. And I've never given up on that. No matter how insignificant I feel, Jesus notices me. And no matter how things go wrong in my life and people ignore me, Jesus knows me.
Wow. Thank you, Rick, for that amazing message. And you know, people are being transformed by these messages every day. But that's only because of your partnership with us. In fact, here's Rick to share some important news with you.
Let's be honest about this time of year. At the end of every year, there are so many ministries that ask for you to support them in the end of year giving. And you know what? We believe in every ministry that proclaims the name of Jesus, and we thank God for them. And I know it can be difficult to decide who to give to. So let me just give you some biblical foundations for giving, some simple guidelines for end-of-year giving. You might think of these three or four things. Number one, give to the ministry that God tells you to support. Go to God, pray to Him, ask Him, say, God, who do you want me to support? And you know what? I support you giving to whoever God tells you to give to. And if it's not Daily Hope, I still support you to give to who God tells you to give to. So pray and ask God. Second, never give when you feel pressured. The Bible says in Corinthians that we are to never give under pressure or compulsion or under guilt. So if you ever feel guilty about giving, don't give, because God tells you in the Word not to give at that time. Give because you want to give, not out of guilt or pressure. Number three, give to where you support and believe in the goals of that particular ministry. Now, every ministry has different goals, but if you believe in and have a heart for going to the last, the least, and the lost, this would be a ministry you should consider supporting. And then finally, give where your gift will be multiplied. For instance, at the end of every year, there is a donor to Daily Hope who offers to give a matching grant to apply to any donation that we receive before the end of the year. Now, what this means is that for every dollar you're able to give this month to Daily Hope, it's going to be doubled. That donor will match it. That multiplies your gift. Like the little boy who brought his loaves and fishes to Jesus, and Jesus fed the 5,000. If you give $25 to Daily Hope this month, the matching grant will match it at $25. If you're able to give $100, the matching grant will add another $100. That multiplies your gift. I would consider that as a factor in where to give during this month. Now, let me just say this. If you can't help us financially, that's okay. I understand. But I would ask that you pray for us. I'm so grateful for those of you who are a financial supporter of this ministry, that monthly giving month after month. It means so much to me. It means much to God, but it means so much for eternity to those who are hearing the good news for the very first time. And so you and I are partners together in reaching people for Christ all around the world. In closing, let me just ask you to continue to pray. Pray for me as I pray for you. And pray that God's word will be taught clearly, with compassion, with clarity, with simplicity in this new year. And that it will not only help you as you listen to these broadcasts, but it will help us reach people for Christ and disciple believers and build churches all around the world, especially in the tribes that have never heard the name of Christ. Thanks for your generosity. Thanks for your prayers. And God bless you.
All this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the transforming love of Jesus with people around the world will be matched up to $100,000. You can give right now by going to PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. But there's only a few more days to have your gift doubled. Anything that's not matched, well, it's going to be lost. So please give your best gift today. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.